Amen. Thank you for that special. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. By the way, if your help comes from the Lord, it's never going to run out. It is a help that is ever present, always there, always sufficient, and always ready for every occasion and every opportunity. And the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes on the hill from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. My question to you is, where does your help come from? Amen. The help of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only help that will always be there. You say, oh, preacher, I got the bank's help. The bank's going to fail. Amen. I've got my employer's help. Your employer may lay you off. Amen. I've got my brother or my sister's help. That's good. Amen. But they may not always be there when you need them. Praise God. My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Well, we use John 17 as a jumping verse because it is the word of God that we're talking about. And Jesus said, sanctify them, Lord, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's what we're looking at this morning. We've already covered in times like these, we need to stay focused on Christ. When the world distracts us, the scripture said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, things are going to distract you. Things are going to distract me. And the encouragement from the word of God is in times like these, when things are so chaotic and things are changing, look unto Jesus because he changes not. The Bible says that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he does not change. And so we looked at in times like these, stay focused on Christ. Well, the world distracts us. And today, as we continue our series in times like these, the emphasis is on staying faithful in the word of God when truth seems to evade us. You say, preacher, what does evade means? You've often heard the term he used, evasive action, meaning to put something out of the way. The word evade means to slip away, to avoid dealing with or facing, to be elusive, to dodge. Truth is that which is factual, honest, and unbiased. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so truth we see is changing right now. You and I are in the crossroads. You say, preacher, what crossroads are we in? We're living in times when what you and I took for truth back when we were children has been changed and it's evaded and something else is in its place. Preacher, what are you talking about? We see the truth of what God states about marriage evaded and changed to include two men and two women along with a man and a woman. And so now it is changed into two men makes a marriage, two women makes a marriage, along with a man and a woman making a marriage. What am I saying? This truth has been evaded of being one man and one woman, and in its place has been added two men and two women. We see the truth of an unborn child being evaded and changed to a woman's right to choose. We see the truth of being fearfully and wonderfully made, evaded and changed to transgenders. We see the truth of marriage being honorable and all changed and evaded and to change into shacking up and fornicating. We see the truth of the local church influence being evaded and changed into a local social club. And tragically, we see the truth of the gospel being evaded and changed into good works or baptisms or whatever you think it may be, and that can get you to heaven, or whatever you think it is that gets you to heaven, that's what it is. May I submit to you, that's a lie. And truth has been evaded, and those are the times that you and I are living in. Amen. Amen. Those are the times that our children are growing up in, where it's going to be mandatory to accept two ladies makes a marriage. Two men makes a marriage just as equal as one man and one woman. Doesn't change the fact that those two men cannot physically have a child together. Doesn't change the fact that those two ladies cannot physically have a child together. Can I get an amen? Amen. Your children and my children are growing up in this time, in times like these. So what's a Christian to do? Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In times like these, we need to stay faithful in the word when truth is seeming to evade us and stick with what God says on the issues that matter. On salvation, on sanctification, and other things. Today, we'll continue to consider verses from Psalm 119. The psalmist is in love with the word of God and over again uses the phrase, thy word. It's his love letter. I can recall back in the days of basic training, my wife and I had just gotten married right before I got shipped off the basic training. And she would always write me love letters. How many of y'all ever got a love letter? How many of y'all ever got a Dear John letter? Hey, amen. Those are not good. Love letters are good. My wife used to write me these love letters. I couldn't wait for the mail. I mean, when they'd say mail call, I was right there waiting. Say, preacher, what are you waiting on? My love letter. And in my love letters, my wife would tell me how much she loved me, how much she missed me. She sprinkled perfume on it. She said all kind of nice things to me. And you got to remember, we had just gotten married January the 14th. I got shipped off January 24th. I only had 10 days with my honey. And I couldn't wait to see her. But in place of her, I got her letters. Her letters would tell me all the things that she wanted to tell me because they wouldn't let you talk on the phone. That was back in the days of collect calls. She didn't have no money and I didn't have no money. So who was I going to make it collect to? And so she would write me these letters and sprinkle with perfume, and she'd talk about our future together and how it was going to be and how much she loved me and how much she missed me. And I'd get those letters and I'd go, oh, man, that smells like you. And then you get mean and you start teasing the other guys that didn't get one. Don't you wish you had a honey? I would let you smell this, but this is for me. And perfume was reeking all in the room, and other guys would have their love letters from their honeys, and the ones that were dejected were the ones that didn't have a honey. And they had no love letter. They didn't even have one for their moms. That's pretty bad. And so sometimes we would feel sorry for them. And we'd get it close to them. Here you go, but you can't see none of the words, but you can sniff it. Smell good, doesn't it? That smelled like my honey. And I couldn't wait to get back home to see my honey. I couldn't wait back. Couldn't wait to get back and see her. She was my honey. Well, in Psalm 119, that's the same way the psalmist feels about the word of God. He says, you know what? This is my Lord. He loves me. This is his love letter to me. It tells me about him, and I can't wait to see him. But until I see him, I've got his word. I've got his word. Until I saw my wife, the only thing that I could console myself with, I had her word. Amen. She was longing to see me just as much as I was longing to see her. By the way, God is longing to see you just as much as you're longing to see him in person. Now, he sees you and he's with you right now, but I'm talking about physically seeing Jesus. I'm talking about physically seeing him. Now, he's with us through the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The Bible says, be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. Hey, in times like these, what do we do when we're bombarded with so much that's not right? The psalmist says, trust the word. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so this love letter here is much like the love letters that Carmen sent me years ago. I love it. It tells me about my Lord. It tells me that I'm saved. It tells me I'm secure. It tells me that I'm safe. It tells me, hey, don't worry about the circumstances. Lo, I am with you always. He says, don't worry about it. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, he said. Why should we stay faithful in the word? We looked at this last week. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled already. And so I need to stay with something that's already settled in heaven. By the way, your salvation is already settled in heaven if you're saved. It's settled. It's done. It's over. The gospel, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. It's settled. Amen. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. It's settled. You just need to claim it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's settled. Psalm 119 and verse 140, the psalmist said, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Psalm 119 and verse 160, he said, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Why do I need it? It's forever. It's not going to change. Job said it this way in Job 23:12. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I need it more than food. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then over at Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Hallelujah. Say, preacher, I don't feel that way. That's because you're not in the word of God the way you should be. I read my wife's love letter over and over again till they seemed like they was my own words.
I read it over and I kept reading it and I kept reading it. Yeah. And you know something that I found to be true, Brother Duffy? Her words never changed. Every time I took it out, it still said the same thing. Amazing. It's amazing. You read the word of God. It still says the same thing that it said years ago. Hallelujah and praise God. I don't care how much they try to change it. I don't care how much they try to revise it. It is still God's word. It's settled in heaven. And we have the King James Bible. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. In times like these, we need to stay faithful in the word when truth seems to evade us. We looked at last week in times like these, stay faithful in the word. Why? It can cleanse us of sin. Psalm 119 says, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We saw also in times like these, stay faithful in the word. It can keep us from sin. Psalm 119 verse 11 said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Then thirdly, we saw in times like these, stay faithful in the word by keeping it stored, keeping a good memory of it. Psalm 119 and 16 says, I would delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. What kept me going in boot camp? My wife's words. What kept me going when times got tough? My wife's words. What kept me going when the TI jumped down my throat and talked about me? My wife's words. Hey, what kept me going? I'm going to see my honey. I'm going to see her. I can tough this out for another few weeks. I can bear with this old mean-looking T.I. who looked like a gorilla, arms hanging down to the ground. He was the Golden Gloves boxing champion of San Antonio Air Force Base. He was the man, and he was my T.I., and he looked like a gorilla, too. Chest was out like this, and hands hanging down, and just had that look. I mean, he had a Curious George look, amen, and just was a gorilla-looking man. But I dare not say anything cross to him. He'd punch my lights out. But one time he crossed the line and he said something to me. And I thought to myself, if you wasn't the Golden Gloves champ, I'd punch you. Then I thought, I'm glad you are the Golden Gloves champ because I'm not going to punch you. Amen. Because then I wouldn't have saw my honey. I went straight to Camp Leavenworth. Where's that? Prison. Amen. And so I didn't do that. But what kept me going all that time? Her words. What's going to keep you and I going in times like these? The word of God. It's going to keep us from sin. It's going to cleanse us from sin. Hey, I need to keep it stored to help me when I get ready to sin. Then we're starting up today. Psalm 119, verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Psalm 119, 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. What am I talking about? Keeping it stored. Psalm 119, 101, I refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Psalm 119, 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. What kept me going in boot camp and tech school and those months away from my honey, her letters? What's going to keep us going in times like these? The word of God from our Father in heaven. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hang on the word of God until we see him and trust his word. Not only will the word of God in times like these cleanse us of sin and keep us from sin. And we need to keep it stored. But then fourthly, and this is where we'll start it today. In times like these, stay faithful in the word to keep spiritually strong. Go to Psalm 119. Because Jesus gave the prayer there in John chapter number 17. He said, Lord, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But the psalmist is depicting what Jesus talked about. Psalm 119. You know what happens to you when you live in times like these? Sometimes the world begins to beat you down. Begins to beat you up. It begins to beat you to the side. Begins to try to mop you up. And you and I can feel depleted of everything that we have. I remember there were some low times when I went through basic training, and there were some hard times when I went through basic training, and I would pick up that letter from my wife and read that letter and think about how much Carmen loved me, and I said, I got to keep going on. She loves me. And I can care less what people think about me. She loves me. You know, you can pick up the word of God, and you can say, I don't care what people think about me, but God loves me. I don't care what people may say, but God loves me. Hey, I don't care what you say or what you think, but God loves me. And I can keep going because of that. And you can too. There was a cereal back in the days when I was growing up that was known as the Breakfast of Champions. Showing my age now. It often had sports figures on it, much like Gatorade does today. How many of y'all know that cereal? Wheaties. Wheaties was called the Breakfast of Champions. The connotation was, if you can eat this cereal, you'll look like the champion on that box. And every young child wanted to eat that cereal to be like that champion. Much like today, you want to drink Gatorade and be like those sports figures. Like today, you want to wear Nikes and be like Jordan and Adidas and all these other things. Or Under Armour and be like this and like that. Amen. Wheaties was the breakfast of champions. And I wanted some Wheaties so that I could be a champion. The psalmist would say, thy word is the breakfast of champions. Can I get an amen? The psalmist would say, thy word is the breakfast of champions. At times I'm beat down. At times I'm beat up. At times the world gets me. At times the devil gets me. At times other Christians get me. I need a revival. And I need the breakfast of champions. I need the word of God. Amen. Hey, you and I are going to get to times we're going to be down. We're not going to always be up. We're not going to always be excited. We're not going to be full of energy. Some days we're just going to be slap sick. And you're going to want to give up. You're going to want to throw the towel in. People are going to be against you, not for you. And you're going to feel like, man, where do I go? I'm glad the psalmist tells us exactly where to go. You need spiritual Wheaties, the word of God. We need to be quickened and made alive. Psalm 119 and verse 25. Notice what the psalmist says here. He says in regards to being quickened, he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. In other words, he said, you can't get no lower than the ground. I'm down to the dust. I'm down to the earth. I'm down and I'm out. You ever felt that way? You can't get any lower unless somebody buried you. Where does dust normally reside? Down on the bottom. He said, my soul, my very existence, my mind, my emotions, my will, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. But notice what he says, quicken thou me according to thy word. The word quicken there means to make alive. It means to make alive or to refresh or to revive. And so the psalmist says, I don't care how low I am. I know where to go. Lord, quicken me according to thy word. If I can just give me some spiritual Wheaties, get in the word of God. That's what I need. Hey, on those times when I felt low, I would get out my wife's word and I'd read it. You say, why didn't you get out the Bible? I wasn't saved. Her word was the only one I knew that I could trust at that time. By the way, it's a sad commentary when the only word that we can trust is somebody else's word. You need a higher authority. You need the word of God. Men will let you down. Women will let you down. Parents, bless their hearts, sometimes they'll let us down. Children, as great as they can be, sometimes they'll let you down. But we need a higher authority. We need a higher power. And this psalmist says, quicken thou me, make me alive, but it's going to be at your word. Yes, the word of others is great, but God is the best. Amen. Amen. Now, I wouldn't trade my wife's word for nothing. Nobody else's word in here. But guess what? God's word is superior to her word. As great as her word is to me, God's word is superior. So the psalmist says, you know what? In times like these, I need to stay faithful in the word to keep me spiritually strong. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Lord, give me the Bible. Give me the word of God. Give me some strength. Give me the spiritual Wheaties. Give me the vitality that I need. Give me the Gatorade. Give me what I need. And guess what? It's there. Notice what he says down in Psalm 119, verse 50. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction. He said, you know what? I'm afflicted. Afflicted means to get beat up. Have something going wrong in your life. And he says, you know what? This is my comfort. This is where I can go when I'm afflicted. For thy word hath quickened me. He said, the word of God, again, hath made me alive. What did he say? Sanctify them by thy truth or through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What does the psalmist say? When I need to be made alive, when I need to be quickened, when I need strength, when I've got to be revived, God, do it through your word. Hey, my friend, you can get out your daily bread. You can get out your days of praise. You can get out any other kind of devotion you want to. Those things are great, but they do not take the place of the word of God. They only take you right back to the word of God. And say, look, you need to be in this book. Those aids are great. And I'm not knocking those aids at all. But I'm saying those aids should bring you back to the book. Hey, you can listen to sermon after sermon after sermon, but those sermons should drive you to study the book. The day that I got saved, I went back home to try to study the Bible. Tickled me. Carl came to me this morning. Carl said, look, where was that area at this morning? I want to study that John 17 out. Hallelujah! That's what it's supposed to do. Make me want to study, read, and see what God says. What else is there that I need? When I got my wife's letters, I would get out the letter and I'd read it. And I'd make sure that I got what was on the back of it. I'd get the envelope to see what was on the envelope. See if she put something on the envelope. I wanted to get everything. I'd start looking on the inside. Did she write something in there? I got every nook and cranny of her letters and her envelopes. I even looked at the stamp. What's on that stamp? See, under that postmaster. Maybe she wrote something there. I just can't see it. I wanted everything. Hey, when it comes to the Word of God, we got to get everything, not just some things. Why? The psalmist said it's going to give me some comfort. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. Notice another one, Psalm 119, 107. What am I saying? In times like these, stay faithful in the word to keep spiritually strong. By the way, it's been proven that when you are your weakest is when Satan will hit you, and that's where he'll hit you, in your weak point. 107, I am afflicted, not just a little, but very much. Some believe that the psalmist is writing because he was afflicted because of his stand for the word of God. By the way, may I submit to you, because you love this book, there will be people that don't like you. May I submit to you further that there will be people that will say, well, they're all the same. Well, I could say, well, all women are the same too. Am I right? Thank you. This one is far superior than all of them. And I hope you feel the same way about yours. And so they're not all the same. Just like she's not the same as everybody else. She's unique. King James Bible is unique. Well, they all say the same thing. Well, the majority of them do say about the same thing. But, oh, it's the part that they took out that makes the difference. Amen. In times like these, hey, the psalmist says, hey, I've got to do something. And I'm afflicted very much, not just a little, very much. Lord, quicken me. Make me alive, oh Lord, according unto thy word. I just need to hear from you. Peter, it was said when he said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come to you. Jesus just said, come at his word. What did Peter do? He stepped out at the word of God. The centurion said, don't even come to my house. Just speak the word and it'll be healed. And he spoke the word. And healing came. The psalmist is saying, I know, Lord, when I'm afflicted very much, you can make me alive. All you got to do is speak. All I got to do is read the word of God. And then I need to apply it to my life. It needs to be the balm of Gilead. You know, it doesn't do me any good to have my antiseptic for my little boo-boo that I have on my knee if I don't do anything with it. I've got to apply it. You know, the word of God doesn't do you any good if you don't apply it. He said, quicken me, make me alive. Notice Psalm 119, 154. Plead my cause and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. The psalmist again said, you know what, Lord, consider my affliction. In verse 51, 53, deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. In verse 53, he says, Lord, consider my affliction. Notice what I'm going through. And Lord, take control and deliver me. I'm not going to forget your law. He said, plead my cause. Deliver me. Lord, do it. Make me alive according to thy word. Why? He can do it. He can do it. Verse 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. What is the psalmist saying? He said, you know what? In times like these, we've got to stay faithful in the word to keep spiritually strong. Every time he said, be strong, be strong. I like that commercial that comes on about the Energizer buddy. You know, he's always beating that drum. Dum, dum, dum. I mean, everything else fades away, goes out. But that bunny, boom, 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 Energizer. That's what the psalmist is saying. I need to be energized. I need to be quickened on the inside. I need to be made alive by the word. By the way, you've got to be born again first. You can't be made alive unless you're born again. You can't be revived. You can't be quickened unless you're born again, my friend. The gospel still saves. It still changes lives. It still gets people where they need to be. It's the death of Jesus Christ for your sins and my sins. It's the burial of Jesus Christ for your sins and my sins. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sins and my sins so that we can be redeemed. Preacher, why do we need to be saved? I'm glad you asked. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And we need to be saved. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. For whosoever shall call upon him, Lord, shall be saved. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What am I saying? You can't be made alive until you're born again first. You've got to be born again first. Well, preacher, I want what's in here. I want this. I want to be quickened. I want to be made alive. Well, let me put it to you this way. You cannot feel the way I felt about my wife's letters. Say, preacher, why? Because I married her. I made a commitment to her. And because I made a commitment to her, she made a commitment to me. When you get saved, you make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And you are born to him. And you are born again by him. And you are married to him. And you make a commitment of your life to him. You say, this is my life. It's full of sin. It's tattered. It's bruised. It's all I have to offer. Lord Jesus, here, take my sinful life and give me your righteous life, please. And guess what he does? He does it. For whosoever shall call upon him, Lord, shall be saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can't feel the same way that I feel about her letters until you marry someone like her. But you know what? You can feel the same way the psalmist felt with the word of God when you get saved. And when you delight yourself in the word. And then you can say, man, this psalmist is on fire. He's delighting in the word. I want to delight in the word of God like that. And when you marry with Jesus Christ, guess what? His word will be precious to you. Or it should. Say, preacher, why wouldn't it be when sin gets in the way, it's not precious? Why? Because it tells you to avoid sin. And when you get involved in sin, you can't be as blessed as you normally could be. Now, you're still blessed, but guess what? God is going to try to beat the devil out of you. Why? Because he doesn't want no devil in you. Say, preacher, that's not loving. Yes, it is. When my children don't do right, you know what I do? I discipline them to keep them right. Why? I love them. I love him. He said, you know what, Lord? If I'm going to be spiritually strong, then I need you to quicken me. I need you to make me alive. I already belong to you, and so quicken me. Make me alive and revive me, Lord. I feel down. My soul is cleaving unto the dust. I need some comfort in my affliction. I'm afflicted very much. Lord, deliver me. Why? Because I'm afflicted. Since I've been 16 years old, I've always had a Timex watch. I mean, I like Timex. What's the Timex slogan? Amen. Takes a licking, keeps on kicking. Man, I have beat up more Timex watches. I don't care how I beat up the band and how the outside got so old it disintegrated, it still told time. I mean, I have literally wanted to keep the watch, but I couldn't because the little thing that goes in there with the band, that broke off. The band broke, but the watch kept ticking. I went to get a watch here recently, and they said, well, don't you want another one? I said, why? There's nothing wrong with the one I got. I just need a new band. They said, but look, it's all faded. But it tells time. No, it's not GQ. It's worn. My wife would probably rather I did get rid of it. I guess my father-in-law felt sorry for me when I went home. He said, Greg, come here, come here, come here. I come in there and he brings out this box. He said, I want you to have this. And I open up and there's a watch in there. And I didn't have the heart to tell him, Dad, this is not a Timex watch. Dad, this is not going to last me that long. I'm a Timex man, just like I'm a King James Bible man. Can I get an amen? Amen. I'm a local church man. I'm a one woman man. Dad, this is not a Timex. I'm a Timex man. But what are you going to tell your father-in-law? Exactly. I said, oh, thank you, Dad. Thank you for being so thoughtful and being so kind. When G2 gets older, I'll probably let him wear it. Amen. G2's like, no. What am I saying? Timex takes a licking and it keeps on ticking. The Word of God takes a licking and it keeps on kicking. People try to destroy it. They try to ignore it. They try to downplay it. They try to change it. But it still is the best-selling book in the world. It's outselling the Quran. It's outselling all those other books out there. Why? It's the Word of God. In times like these, stay faithful in the Word to keep spiritually strong. But then five, in times like these, stay faithful in the Word to keep submissive. So, preacher, what do you mean to keep submissive? The child of God must always recognize the need to be submissive to God's will and recognize when we've gone astray and we're not submissive, we need His mercy. By the way, everybody in here needs God's mercy. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. It's only because of God's great mercy that He looked at your sin and said, I'm going to put your sin on Jesus Christ. I'm going to be merciful to you, and I'm going to take the sin and put it on Jesus Christ. But until you claim it, guess what? You still possess it and own it. But in His mercy, He said, you know what? If you look to the cross, look and live. He said, Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. He said, I'm going to die for the sins of the world. I'm going to be buried, but the third day I'm going to raise myself back up. He said, I got the power to lay my life down. I've got the power to take it again. And guess what He did? To have mercy on you and have mercy on me. Friend, if you're not saved here today, that's you. You need God's mercy. Well, I want justice. No, you don't. No, you don't. I want judgment. No, you don't. No, you don't. I want what's coming to me. I'm a man. No, you don't. You take God's mercy or you take God's wrath. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says. But God wants to stay His wrath. And He wants to give you mercy. And when you and I don't do what we ought to do, we want to fall on God's mercy. And want to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I blew it again. I messed up again. Lord, I'm unrighteous. I'm undone. The psalmist says, hey, look, I've been there before. I'm not going to always do what's right. Sometimes I'm going to go astray and I need mercy. And I want to keep submissive to receive that. Notice Psalm 119 and verse 41. He says, let thy mercies come also unto me. Say, preacher, what is mercy? God not giving you what you deserve. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. You don't deserve salvation, but God, mercy, you get it. He said, Lord, give me some mercy so I can get salvation. Without your mercy, I cannot get saved. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. God, you just say it. You just say it. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. By the way, when people reproach you or when they reproach me, you say, God said it. They can laugh you to scorn all they want to, but guess what? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and you will have the last laugh. Amen and amen. Amen. They can say what they want to say, but guess what? I live by this book. Well, that's old-fashioned. That's fuddy-duddy. You still believe in young people being pure? You still believe in not shacking up? You still believe in all these other things? You still believe in all these? Yes, 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 and yes. Save you a lot of heartaches. Save you a lot of headaches. And old friend, if you have fallen to those lies, you better fall on God's mercy. And say, God, be merciful to me. I fell for the lies. Now, the truth evaded me, and I hooked, line, and sinker, took all these lies that have been changed. And the truth now is non-existent. He says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word. Notice Psalm 119, verse 58. Talking about, in times like these, stay faithful in the word to keep submissive. Verse 58, he says, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. You know what he's saying? Lord, I came to you. I came to you to get your favor. And I bore my heart. And I said, Lord, this is me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is me. By the way, when you got saved, that's what you had to do. I came to God a sinner, and I said, God, I came with my righteousness, and I came with my baptism, and I came with all my good, and I came with all this. And it came back, it says filthy rags, because there's nothing that you can have to buy salvation. It's all by the blood. And when I came with my whole heart and I bore my spirit to God and said, oh God, I want to be saved. What's preventing me? He said, your righteousness is. You need my righteousness. So drop your baptisms. Drop your good works. Drop your Lord's table. Drop all the things that you think are going to get you some points with me. And humble yourself and submit yourself to my care and follow my mercy. And weeping and in tears. Understanding I had nothing to offer God. Absolutely nothing. Naked before Almighty God. I was so ashamed. I was so embarrassed. That I in my self-righteousness tried to come before God and say, look what I got. And God said, you got nothing, son. You don't have anything. There's nothing that you can barter with. It takes precious blood and you don't have it. You've got to look to the cross, son. Your sins were placed there, son. Jesus died for you. He was buried. He rose again for you, son. And I had to humble myself and come to the realization I had nothing to offer God. And I came with my whole heart. And friend, I'm telling you, there's no other way to come to God than with your whole heart. You cannot come half-hearted. You cannot come with a quarter. You cannot come three quarters. You've got to come clean with your whole heart and say, God, this is me. Warts and all. The good and the bad and the ugly. And God in his mercy came down and said, son, that's all I needed you to do. Admit that you don't have it and that I have everything that you need. Turn from your sin, turn from your self-righteousness and accept my payment in Jesus Christ. And guess what? I got down on my knees, a wicked, wretched sinner, and I got up a righteous sinner. A sinner saved by grace. He said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. By the way, the same word that I got saved by is the same word you can get saved by. Hallelujah and praise God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's good that way. Psalm 119 and verse 76 says it this way. Let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word. Unto thy servant. He said, you know what? I need your mercy. Lord, I need your mercy. In times like these, stay faithful in the word to keep submissive. We're not going to always do what's right, and we've got to submit ourselves to God and allow his mercy to cover our multitude of sins, but we've got to humble ourselves and be submissive to his will and to his way. Lastly, and we'll cover this very, very quickly. Not only in times like this, stay faithful in the word to keep spiritually strong and stay faithful in the word to keep submissive, but then in times like these, stay faithful in the word to keep seeing. Our faith is not yet sight, so we still are trusting to see Jesus soon. And we trust by faith the word of God that we'll see Jesus soon. In the New Testament, the Bible calls it hope or the blessed hope or an expectation or confidence. The Bible word hope is not like our word hope. It's our hope to things like, well, I guess it's going to happen, but I'm not sure. The Bible's hope is an expectation. They know it's going to happen. It's just when. And they knew they would see Jesus. They said, looking for that blessed hope in the appearing of our Savior and God, Jesus Christ. And it was more than a hope, it was an expectation or confidence. And here in Psalm 119, the verses that we're going to use here use hope in a slightly different way. The verses that we'll see here are going to be verses that mean to be patient, to stay, to tarry, or trust. In other words, to spend some reflective time on God's word whilst we wait. Notice Psalm 119 and verse 74. He says, they that fear thee... I'm sorry, verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in thy word. And again, that word hope means to stay or to tarry. I've been patient in your word. I've tarried in your word. I've trusted in your word. I'm staying in your word. I'm reflecting in your word. And so he said, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. He said, people that are referencing you, they're going to be glad when they see me. Because I'm trusting in the same word that they're trusting in. Notice verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Or I'm waiting in your word. I'm tarrying. I'm staying in your word. I'm reflecting on your word. He says, you know what? The salvation has come already, but I'm not in heaven yet. And so I'm going to spend my time in your word, waiting, reflecting. 1:14, notice this one very quickly. He says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. He said, Lord, you're my hiding protection. You're my shield, my defense. And so I'm going to trust. I'm going to tarry. I'm going to stay. I'm going to reflect on your word because that's where I'm going to find my defense. I don't need to defend myself because, Lord, you do that for me. And then lastly, Psalm 119, verse 147. 147 says this. I prevented the dawning of the morning. The word prevented means to precede or come beforehand or to anticipate. I anticipated. I come before. I precede. I prevent the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. He said, I've been patient. I had to get up early in the morning, but I'm patient. I'm staying in your word. I got up real early for this. But I know you're going to come. And I know you're going to help. And I know you're going to deliver. What am I saying? Folks, in times like these, we need the Word of God. We need the Bible. These are some changing times. These are some chaotic times. These are some times that are unprecedented. I mean, you look at the presidential candidates who are out there. Brother Serge just told me about another young man that's out there as well, which is worth investigating. I mean, you look at these times and how the laws are changing to benefit sin and not the Savior. But it's just a sign of the times. And in times like these, we need to be faithful in the Word of God. We need to be faithful in something that's not going to change. We need to stay the course in the Word of God. And friend, let me tell you, if you're not saved today, why not? God has done everything that He can to save you. He's given heaven's best. He put Jesus on the cross. He put the world's sin on the cross. He died in your place. He was buried in your place. He was raised again for you and for me. Why are you not saved today? In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need the Bible. Hey, folks, in times like these, let's stay faithful in the Word of God because the times are not getting any better. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, I've tried to do my best to let people know the importance of the Word of God in times like these. Oh, Lord, in times like these, we've got to be faithful in the Word when truth is seeming to evade us. You said, thy Word is truth and sanctify them by thy truth. Oh God, help the Christian that's struggling today with decisions of what they should do and where they should go and how they should behave and how they should act to find their comfort and solace in the Word of God. Lord, help that one that's struggling with being born again today to recognize there is no other way because you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, bring conviction on that man, that woman, that boy or girl that needs to be born again today. For us as Christians, God, help us to stand strong and be faithful in the Word when truth seems to evade the world around us. Help us to stand for the truth. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment. How many in this room today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would be honest before God and say, preacher, I've never been born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you remember me in your prayer? And you raise your hands and saying, preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Please remember me in prayer. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across the room. Honest before God. You're not saying anything that God doesn't already know, but I just want to pray for you because I don't know. You say, preacher, I'm a little shy. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to pray for you. You'd raise that hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Christian, how about you? Do you feel that the time's moving in on you? Do you feel it changing your workplace? Do you feel it changing the school place? Do you feel the times changing your community? Do you feel it even changing your own family? I assure you, it's not going to get any better. And we need to stay faithful in the Word of God. When all around us is shifting, All around us is sinking sand. Christian, would you gird up your loins today and be a little bit more faithful, a little bit more diligent in the Word of God, taking the promises and standing on them. Father, bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Miss Natasha is going to play Hymn of Invitation, and maybe you need to come and pray for a loved one this morning, that in times like these, they need prayer. Or maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray for a coworker, friend, relative, that in times like these, they seem to be shaking. And you need to pray for the confidence and the boldness to share with them the Word of God. Maybe you need to pray for yourself, coming down to an old-fashioned altar, saying, Lord, help me to be faithful in the Word. Maybe you can read a little bit longer. You can meditate a little better. Maybe you can memorize Scripture a little longer. Maybe you can put it into practice a little better. As the piano plays, would you come? Lord, I need to have the love that this psalmist has. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God, I've got to hope in your word. I've got to have it as my mainstay. I've got to be like Job. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. God, I need your word more than food. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you need to bring your young son or your young daughter and pray with them about the things they'll face in school. The moms and married to each other and the dads married to each other. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and prepare them and tell them to be faithful to the Word of God. Say, preacher, but we can't change the time. We're not trying to change the time. We're just trying to live in the times. And be what God would have us to be in the times. To be the light in the darkness. To be the light when men can't see their way. To be what God would have us to be. He said, ye are the light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works. Glorify your Father in heaven. Would you come? Would you come? Sir, don't let this moment pass you by. Ma'am, don't let this moment pass you by. Today could be your last day. Say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. No, it's a reality. No one has promised tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. You want the mercy of God, not the wrath of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Would you come? Would you come? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In times like these, stay faithful in the word. It can cleanse us of sin. It can keep us from sin. We need to keep it stored. It can keep us spiritually strong. It'll keep us submissive to receive his mercy. It'll keep us seeing hope when it seems hopeless. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. May God speak to your heart. May God speak to your heart. Stay focused on Christ when the world distracts us. Stay faithful in the word when truth seems to evade us in times like these. Our Father, thank you for being such a gracious God to us. Thank you for the love that you have given this psalmist. Oh God, may my love come to be this type of a love. That Lord, through afflictions I can praise you. Through times when I'm down in the dust, I can praise you. Lord, when I have nothing, I can turn to you, Lord, as my field, my shield and my defense. Lord, may I be as the psalmist and cry to you with my whole heart repeatedly and over again. Lord, when I am destitute and down, and I got, God, I pray. That is the prayer for every person in here today. That we would have a greater love for your word. You said sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God, help us to be the people that you would have us to be. Lord, when truth evades us and everybody else is believing a lie and changing the truth that we know, oh God, help us to stand. And to stand on this word the Word of God. When all else is on sinking sand, your Word remains. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Thank you for preserving your Word. Thank you that your Word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. O Lord, may we take the psalmist up, and when he said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. My whole heart have I sought thee, he said. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Lord, may that be our cry as we leave here today. Sanctify us through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Dismiss us with your blessings, God, and we look forward to hearing from Brother Darmani tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.